Welcome to Cherished Women with Kimberly Walton. With a look into issues facing today's Christian women, let's be honest, with all the things coming at us, it's easy to become inundated with life's messiness. As a wife, mother, founder of Cherished Wives International, and a marriage mentor, Kimberly fully understands how difficult it can be for a woman to balance work, life, home, and love. Today, she'll help you navigate life's challenges so you may thrive in life, love, and marriage. Now, here's Kimberly Walton with a topic on being cherished.
Thank you, friends, for joining us again. Last week, we talked about blended families and some of these sobering statistics surrounding a blended family. Things like how long it takes to blend, the percentage of families that are blended, and even the downward trend from an intact family to blended families. So we also covered last week some of the common challenges that children face in blended families and gave you action items and tips on how you can improve the odds for a more successful blending. If you missed last week, then please visit mendedlife.com or cherishedwives.com to listen to the replays of the show. They'll be posted up for you to listen to. So let's pick up where we left off. Now, this time we want to talk about the other players in a blended family. And that's going to be the parents, the couple, if you will, and their relationship. And then also the adults that are in the children's life. So the other adults, these are going to be grandparents, aunts, uncles, and the such. So last week, marriage and family therapist Joel Walton was here to help us cover this topic. And he was here with me. Now he's here with me again as we continue this topic. So welcome back, Joel.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me back on. This is a really important topic, and I'm just happy to be here with you.
Yeah, we appreciate your wisdom. And I have my side for me working with my clients, but I work with women, and you work more so with couples. So this is great to kind of get both sides of this. Now, again, last week we talked about the kids. We talked about the parents and their relationship, I want to talk about the parents and their relationship. And when we have nowadays 75% of second marriages failing, we have to assume that most of those marriages, they are going to be those second marriages, they're going to have kids. It's important. And if you're in a blended family and you've got kids, we've got to nurture that relationship and maybe do a dent in that 75%, right?
I agree. You know, one of the things about blended families is that the parents really have to have their game on. They've really got to be looking at this from what I call an external perspective, an external view, in order to be more aware. And so what I'm trying to get to in this idea of an external view is that, you know, so often in life we look at situations through our lens, how that affects us. And when we're talking about a blended family, and one of the things that you can see with when you look at successful blended families is that the parents have this ability to externalize their understanding and look at the kids' perspective, look at the ex's perspective, look mm-hmm. at all the players that are involved, and you've got to slow it down enough to see what they may be going through, because that is critical to being able to help you understand. Because if everything you see is going to be offensive to you, or you're trying to control the situation, you have to realize that you're dealing with lots of little lives, lots of little positions, you've really got to have this external view of it to set yourself up for success.
Yeah, and I think you're also saying that we need to be more compassionate, and
correct.
We've got to really step up our empathy game.
Empathetic is exactly right.
Right, and I know that you teach that there's basically three types of blended families. Can you share those three types with us?
Well, you know, it's interesting. They've actually done some research, and they said that there's almost, I believe it's 67 different types of blended families in combinations thereof. Mm-hmm. But out of all those 67 specific types, you can drop them into three categories. And those three categories really do, I think, help us get a handle on where you're at and what complications you're going to be dealing with. So let me hit those real quick. Mm-hmm. The first one is the simple blended family. This is the family where you've got just one adult having one or more children coming into relationship where the other spouse does not have any children.
So we just have one set of children. We don't. We're not mixing two different bio kind of. Okay.
Right, and again, we'd be wanting to think that the simple would be more of the younger the child, the younger the children, the better off you're going to have to be, you know, successfully.
The more set up for success you are.
That's exactly right.
I agree with that. It's the if the younger this starts blending, it's easier. If you start with teenagers, yeah, it might not go down well until they're out of the house.
That's right, and it can create a tremendous amount of complexity. And then the second one we'd like to call the complex blended family. Now, this is the typical blended family. This is the his, hers, and theirs kind of an idea where you are taking and you're dealing with multiple, two separate families coming together, mm-hmm. and then you've
like
got
emerging.
Right, emerging. And then you have two exes. And so your ability is, as I said earlier, to be able to control your situation gets drastically reduced to about 25%.
Right.
And then the last one is what we call the compounded complex. And that's the idea that not only are you bringing these dual families together, but you've also got additional stressors that are creating problems. You could have a special needs child. Mm-hmm. You talked about last week your little brother mm-hmm. having leukemia.
That definitely made it complex.
That put you into that compound complex. You could also have children with multiple parents where you have parents with multiple
children
from different relationships. So it's not just one ex. It could be multiple exes.
It could be like a foster child.
Exactly. And then the last, you know, this idea of a parent incarcerated, that creates additional stresses. So that simple, complex, and compound complex gives you, I think, three, you know, mm-hmm. Ideas of severity of how hard this is going to be. If you're jumping into a compound complex relationship, you better do your homework. You better understand what you're dealing with before you enter into that, because you're going to set yourself up for all kinds of heartache.
Yeah. And You're on a sinking boat, kind of.
And I'm not saying it can't be dealt with, but you've got to have that external view. If you're dealing with a compound, complex relationship, you have got to have your wits about you and understand all of these different dimensions.
And this is where I think doing some pre-blending and pre-blending counseling is crucial. It's that stuff you don't know, and having a support system and all that. All of these have their complexity to them, but if somebody was going into a compound complex and they weren't really thinking it out, I would be really concerned that they're going to end up just a statistic with a failed marriage. So,
well, yeah, we're looking at the typical marriages are failing at 50% with intact families, and so this just creates much more complexity into that second relationship.
Yeah.
So the roadmap thing, you know, that we need to really look at, things that we need to do to be more aware of.
And there's no specific roadmap. I mean, no one size is going to fit all, right?
That's correct.
That
should be the roadmap. The roadmap is that there is
there's no
roadmap.
It's like those GPS things where they were built before the roads were built, and you're like, it's got you out in the middle of a field, and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know,
that's
there's
exactly
water here or something. So,
or you miss the turn and it says rerouting.
Yes. Yeah. There's lots of rerouting in a blended family.
Lots of rerouting.
Yeah. So I know that there's some specific things that you like to tell your clients when they are considering blending or in a blended family. So what are some of the things you like to specifically tell your clients when it comes to maybe how to be set up for success or what to really be aware of?
Well, I think one of them is that idea of loyalty. We talked a little bit about that last week. And how does that really play out? And the idea there is you gotta weigh the cost when you're talking about loyalties. You've got to be really aware. But then because you're going to have loyalty shifts, and you've got to be able to understand when those are happening, and to look and determine if that's really serving you and the family.
Mm-hmm. And it's normal to be loyal to your kids. They're blood.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, even if you love your mate, it's normal to be loyal. Even when somebody's kid does, in an intact bio family, and somebody's kid does something dumb or whatever,
right,
they're like, oh, he was a good kid or whatever. And it's like, wow, okay, wait a minute.
Right. It's that is a very normal idea that people deal with? Is this thing that they're going to be more loyal to their kids? Because let's be frank, they were with them when they were born.
Yeah.
You are relatively a new part of that person's life. These children have been with them
longer.
And so the loyalties, you know, you have to purposely be aware of those. The other thing I like to kind of is a good segue into this concept of triangulation, which is what really happens. This is when stressors are applied within a relationship. You know, they say a triangle is the strongest structure. It's most stable structure. And what we end up doing anytime we have any kind of relational conflict, that we want somebody to be on our side. We go for a third person. And so we can triangulate. And we do this oftentimes when we're, you know, at work, where we'll talk about a coworker that, you know, that did something that you didn't really appreciate. So you'll pull somebody else in
and
say, well, I can't believe Jerry did that. Didn't, you know, he knew better to order that. And but then the very next week, the other person you just talked to will do something that you didn't like. And then you'll triangulate with the person that you were triangulated with against.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
So be careful with not doing that.
And that alienates
people. On your side.
Yeah, it alienates them. But it's going to happen. People will do that. And that's the thing you have to be aware of when you're triangulating and to be cautious of it.
And this is one of those things that we like to talk about where any sort of stress or conflict, it strengthens the apron strings or blood, you know, however you want to look at it.
Blood thickens.
Mama
bear mode.
Mama bear mode. You're like, I don't think so. So whenever there's that conflict, you're going to go to that relationship that you have with your child.
Right.
And you're going to side with them. And it may not be the best thing. Sometimes it is.
Right.
But sometimes it's not.
Right. And moving on in that list, the other thing I'd like to talk about is this concept of disciplining kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of the third rail when we're dealing with blended families. And I don't like necessarily to use the word discipline because I think it has some negative connotations because it can also be, you know, thinking of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better of correcting when you talk about correcting kids. And I tell blended families that they really need to have an idea of what they're going. I break it down into like a red light, yellow light, green light.
And I love that analogy, the way that you do that.
And the idea with that is that, you know, I recommend that that you deal with your own bio kids as much as possible in most situations.
Yeah.
So those would be, the idea of
so the green light things are those things that any adult, any parent can correct.
Right. That would be like if there was a life and death situation or something that's grave that you need to step in or that you've already decided that regardless of who's involved, if you see this going on, you need to, that's
or
a green.
Or if the kid asks, can I have a snack? Can I this? And you say yes or no. It's those things that are either really small and not a big deal or things are really huge.
Right. That's exactly right. And the thing about the green lights is that you've got to be able to have those well established and to your partner, understand what those are. The yellow lights are the ones that are in the middle that you really don't know. And so you might have to be kind of dance.
Do I run the light? Do I stop?
Do I speed up?
Speed up or stop?
And then, you know, and then the red ones are things you just don't touch them.
Yeah.
They're
issues. Minefield.
They're minefields or issues specifically with that child and that parent. And if you inject yourself into that, you're just going to be alienating yourself and creating a further problem. And again, these lights and this system is going to change based on how long you've been in that family.
Mm-hmm.
How old are these children?
Yeah.
So the idea of that traffic light is really to where the parents are able to understand and communicate and say, look, is this a red light issue? Is this a green light issue? So they've got some capacity to you know, communicate.
Yeah. And with time, the green light will get to the things that fall into the green light will get bigger.
That's correct.
And with time, the things that fall into the red light
will get smaller.
That'll shrink.
And when you have a really well blended family, the red light areas of that, you know, if you could say
it's a pinpoint.
It's a pinpoint.
Yeah, it's really not that significant. So those are good points. So a couple others that I want to share that are important to me is that you want to honestly recognize that you are probably far more set in your ways than you realize. And it's going to require, once you step into this new family, to be more patient, to be more compassionate, but also to be more flexible because you're going to need to adapt to these other kids and things like that. You know, you're probably going to find also that you are going to have a harder time putting your marriage first because you're going to be aligned with your children. So that's something that's really significant that I want people to be aware of. Something I also have found that comes up a lot with my clients is that your your chances of being jealous of your mate's ex is going to sneak up on you. This comes up all the time where you're like, wow, this child is not mine, but you wish you had had children with this person. Or you, the one child puts, they go to Disneyland, you know, the whole Disneyland dad thing, goes to Disneyland, and now you're jealous because they don't have the same money, or, you know, the jobs, or whatever. So being really aware of that, because how that comes out subliminally with the kids and things can really create some problems.
You could even have issues with that topic on jealousy, where one spouse can be jealous of the relationship you currently have with your ex when you're talking about texting, you know, scheduling pickups, sending pictures of the kids off the last, you know, event they did. And so that can create, that can creep in as well.
Yeah. And it does creep in. All of a sudden you're like, wow, that big ugly monster of jealousy is right there. And you're like, gah, you don't want it to be, but it is. Right. You know, another thing it's that I think is true for people is it's really hard to hear negative things about your kids, even if you love your spouse dearly. But if they're telling you like your kids aren't doing their chores like they're supposed to and things like that, that can creep up and create some serious problems. And you have to be prepared to say, honestly, is my kid doing their part? Are they not doing their part? What do we need to do so that we can get those kids raised? We can get the kids to be productive adults. We can do this with minimal amount of wounding of everybody.
Right. No one likes to be told their child or their baby
is
ugly.
That's right. I know. Yeah, that's true. We don't. So
it sets us off.
Yeah. You know, the other thing to think about is you don't want to compare your this life that you're currently living to your former life, because people will do like, what was better then? Or it's, even if you're comparing it in a good way at times, it can have an effect. The comparison is a nasty thing that we do, because when it takes us out of being grateful for where we're at and being thankful. So I encourage people, just, we got to let comparison go. We've got to just be grateful for where we're at and work on where we're headed.
Good point.
So, and there's so many others. I mean, this is just a small list of ones that we could come up with. So when we're looking at this, what I want to say is this by no means is expected to be any sort of exhausted list, because it absolutely is not. And we could go on for this for days. This could be a whole nother show itself. One area that I think is super important, though, that is a minefield, is to really get people to honor their exes. And it's hard sometimes, but you want to get the kids to not be pitted against their parent.
Right.
So I know we both have a couple examples on this, and I had a client who was a stellar example of this, where for Father's Day, and it was that particular Sunday was supposed to be the day that she was with her kids and they were not with her dad. And what she did is something that I would hope every parent would do in these kind of scenarios is she made a picnic lunch. Her and the kids made picnic lunches, and then they bought movie tickets. And she basically told her ex that, hey, this is your day. Come get the kids. Go spend the day with the kids on Father's Day. And she could have been difficult. She could have said, no, sorry, it's not going down like that. It's my day and I'm not going to. But she didn't. She set the kids up to not have mixed loyalties and things like that.
Right. That takes a special person to do that.
That's huge. And people don't always do that. But I love that about her.
Even if the other parent is not kind to them.
Right.
You know, and you have to.
And even more so.
Even more so. It's important. You know, it kind of reminded me. I had a recent person that I had known that had a similar situation. And what in this relationship, he was coming into a relationship where the previous father had passed away. The mother was widowed. And so he was the new dad. And when they came up to the anniversary of the father's passing, the bio dad's passing, he took the kids down and got flowers, and they went and visited the graveyard of the dad that passed. And you know, that takes a lot to do that, because that person has to, again, take that external position, understanding where these kids are coming from, realizing that they're hurting at this time, and that they're able to freely grieve and process in that other person's life. And that is a gift that that father, new father, was able to give those children, that it was okay to be sad. Yeah. It was okay to feel bad, but you know, life goes on.
Yeah. And I think doing that makes that family blend even further, because they look at that adult as somebody they can trust.
Absolutely.
Somebody, and I don't mean just like trust, but I mean somebody who's really got their best interest and that they can be safe around, to be who they are.
They can be authentic.
Mm-hmm. And that's huge with kids in those kind of scenarios. So the moral of this story is, if you've got an ex, don't pit your kids against the ex. Don't talk bad about them. Don't do things like, oh, that's not important. Don't undermine them, because all that does is harm your family, your blended family.
And you'll pay a price for that.
You absolutely will. So another thing we like to talk about is that contributes to the demise of a blended family is the other adults that are in the picture. The grandparents are huge. They can either be part of the solution or they can exacerbate the problems, and even aunts and uncles, but I think grandparents more so. Example of one of my clients that had to deal with something a while ago was, it was Christmas and the blended family went over to the dad's parents. And so what they did is, the dad's parents, they had given the biological grandchildren gifts, but not the stepchildren.
Wow.
So now we have this really weird setup. In fact, they barely acknowledged them. And it created some problems, of course. Some people might say, oh, well, that's okay because they're biological. But the problem is, the grandparents need to understand, in this case, they undermined the blended family. It creates resentment. It now means they are less likely to come over next year. Because if the family is trying to be true to itself, what it's going to do is it's going to say, we're not going anywhere that's harming our family. We're not going anywhere that's going to undermine us.
And those grandparents will pay a heavy price for that.
They will.
Again, it's that whole thing. And if you don't have that external view always present before you, you can easily get wrapped up into looking at it.
Right. And that's where you always say is, you've got to think ahead. You've got to have the tough conversations so that you are not in that situation where that comes up.
Or be willing to have the tough conversation to avoid the bad situation.
Well, and you have an example that we've talked about before with wedding pictures.
Oh, yeah. Going into the in-laws and having wedding pictures from the first wedding up, because the grandparents still have fond memories of the ex-wife. The first wife.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no pictures of the current wedding, of the current relationship. And so that, that's a tough thing. To be honest, the parents might not even know that. They might not even be aware of that's even happening. So again, external perspective is important at all times.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, I'm big on traditions and rites of passage, and those kind of things really help to build a family. And creating, if you're in a situation where you've got a blended family, one of the best things you can do is to work on creating new traditions. And it doesn't even have to be in a blended family. I know a few years ago, many, many years ago, when my kids, it was Easter time, and they were meeting some new cousins that they hadn't seen for a long time. Since they were very little. And one of the things I did is I took like these plastic Easter eggs and I put little toys and gifts and bubbles and things in them. And we went around and we shared with the kids. And then I said, let's all go outside and do like bubbles outside. So it gave them a chance to bond and to blend.
Yeah, you were helping those other kids
The kids play together, giving them something to do so none of them feel alienated. And there's all sorts of ways that you can do that. If I was in a blended family, I would take a note from something one of my clients did, where she took sugar cookies to a Christmas thing and all the things to decorate the sugar cookies and all the little sprinkles and this and that, and got all the kids sitting around the table and doing sugar cookies.
So she was actually creating her own environment.
She was
actually bringing in that.
Yep.
Controlling the situation.
Absolutely. So, Joel, we've only got like a minute left here. What would be your final words on this particular topic here?
I guess the thing I'd like to say is, you need to celebrate the victories. They are there. And if you do not celebrate those victories when they happen, you will be doing yourself a great disservice.
Yeah.
And that would be, don't sacrifice your relationship on the altar of the blended family. This is going to take time. You just got to keep working at it.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes time. Patience is kind of the underlying word underlined here that needs to be understood. So Joel, I want to thank you for sitting with us the last couple of weeks and talking about this topic that we both really, really feel passionate about, because I know that there's a lot of people in this boat that need to hear some of this and to also be told it's going to be okay. You're going to make mistakes, but you're going to be okay. So thanks for joining us today on this oh so important topic.
Thank you for listening to Cherished Women, where Kimberly Walton tackles issues facing today's Christian women. If you'd like to connect with Kimberly or you're interested in in-love approach or mentoring, visit cherishedwives.com. You'll find insightful blogs and videos, inspirational classes, and an invite to sign up for a free monthly newsletter. While there, look for the link to the Cherished Wives Facebook page to join their community of sharing insights and wisdom for cherished women. If you have a topic on your heart that you'd like to suggest for a show, reach out and let them know at their Let's Connect page at cherishedwives.com. Until next time, remember the wisdom of Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. CherishedWives.com.